Bibles this morning and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 5 and 6. The faith of Enoch. Faith of Enoch. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, says, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Father, this morning I come before your throne of grace and ask for your guidance and direction as I preach this message you've laid on my heart this morning. I pray, Father, that you would be the one that gets all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. I pray, Father, that you would increase and that I would decrease. I pray, Father, that I would just be your mouthpiece here, and that your word would go out, and as it tells us, it will not return unto you void. I pray that it's going to go out and it's going to accomplish that which you've sent it forth to do. I pray, Father, for each one here today that you would speak to each heart personally. And I pray, Father, that we'd be drawn closer to you and that our faith would increase and that you would be lifted up and glorified. For it's in the blessed name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As I said, we're continuing on in our series on faith in the book of Hebrews. And last week, we did look at Abel in our last week. We see where the first three witnesses of faith were men that lived before the flood, as I mentioned last week. And this is a great example of the faithfulness of God. God is still the same God He's always been. God is never going to change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's never going to change. We can believe God, we can trust God, we can follow God and know that He's not going to lead us astray. He does not change. Does not change. I thank God for the witnesses that God gave to the Hebrew readers and basically all believers, right? The book of Hebrews was not just for them. It's for us today as well. And so we can learn lots from these people that went on before us and the faith that they had. And as I said last week, the one thing that they all had in common was faith. Was faith. They all went through different trials. They went through different testings. They went through different struggles. But they all had faith. And faith to the point where God had them mentioned in His holy word. So that we can learn from them as well. We talked about Abel, as I said. Today we're going to talk about Enoch. Enoch walked with God, and Brother Enoch was raptured out of this world. Can you imagine just walking with God and being raptured, taken out of here and taken home? That's the way I want to go, by the way. I've been saying that for years. It's been a long-standing thing of mine. I believe it could happen any day. It could happen today. In fact, I was talking to Brother Guy over at the conference in Yakima, and we were standing in line, headed to go to have a meal, and he asked me some questions. And one he asked is, "Do you believe that the rapture could take place at any moment?" I said, "It could take place while we're standing here right now." He said, "Do you believe that there's nothing else that has to happen before the rapture takes place?" I said, "Nothing else has to happen before the rapture takes place. It could happen any moment. Are we ready?" Then I said this to him, "If we truly believe that the rapture could take place at any moment, would we live any differently?" And if the answer is yes, shame on us. We should not be living any differently. We should be living today as if the rapture could take place at any moment and believing that wholeheartedly. Enoch was raptured, and he's a picture of the true church. One day the church is going to be raptured out of here. Can you imagine? And I hate to say this, but there's going to be some people sitting in a church service somewhere when the rapture takes place, and some people are going to be gone and others are going to be left here. I wholeheartedly believe that's going to take place. Because I believe there's a lot of people that are in church thinking that church is getting them to heaven when that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that it's only through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have eternal life. Just sitting in a church pew does not cut it. It has to do with the condition of our heart. One day, caught up to meet God in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, the Bible tells us. All the things we see in the papers and on TV, on the newscasts and all, are all pointing to what has to take place. Do you realize that prophecy is being fulfilled in front of our very eyes? Do you realize that all these things, people all the time, they'll tell me, man, all this stuff, how can it get any worse? I can't believe that this is going on. The Bible tells us these things are going to take place. It has to get worse. In fact, the Bible tells us in the last days things will wax worse and worse. We said, well, there's a doom and gloom story, huh? There's still hope, but only in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, our problem is that we want to have hope in man, right? We have an election coming up, right? I can't tell you how many people who profess to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are counting on the election in November to save us. I'm going to tell you right now, my hope is not in an election. My hope and trust and faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, who already knows the outcome. These things have to take place. Do you realize that our nation is so far in debt, it's not even funny? Our nation continues to go further and further and further in debt. And it's amazing how all of these things are happening. Enoch is one of the mystery men of the Old Testament. Do you realize he's only mentioned in Genesis chapter 5? Turn over to Genesis chapter 5, and besides Hebrews, obviously. But Genesis chapter 5, we don't get a whole lot of information on him. Genesis chapter 5, we're going to look at verses 21 through 24. The Bible says, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God and was not, for God took him. He was just walking and then God took him out of here. Can you imagine just walking? I've said for years I want to be preaching the Word of God. I want to be standing in the sacred desk as God raptures me out of here. That's what I want to have happen. I don't get to choose, but that's what I would like to have happen. Enoch's just walking with God and all of a sudden he's gone. He's just gone. God took him out of here. He was the first man after the flood not touched by death. Is gone. Can you imagine? Wow. The Old Testament doesn't tell us much about his translation, but simply says that he walked with God. Wouldn't you like that testimony? Wouldn't you like people to say, he walked with God, or she walked with God? It'd be good to have that testimony, wouldn't it? Paul, as I said, or the writer of Hebrews, since I can't prove 100% that Paul wrote Hebrews. I already gave you a couple weeks ago why I believe he did. But that only a man of faith could enjoy close communion with God. See, without faith, in our text we said, without faith it's impossible to please God. Impossible. Seems that anyone who had this kind of fellowship with God surely must have pleased God. What a testimony to Brother Enoch. Enoch fulfilled the purpose of which man was created. We were created for a purpose, by the way. You didn't just happen to show up on this planet, right? God created you for a purpose. And if you look over in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, we'll see what the Bible tells us about that. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11, where they say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." God created us and all the things we see for His pleasure. Jude said that Enoch was a prophet. From this, it would appear that he was a preacher and that he predicted the coming of the Lord to judgment, and that he lived in the firm belief that what was to occur in future times. Do you believe what's going to take place? God's told us what's going to take place. Do you believe it? Do we live like we believe it? We should. Turn over to Jude right before Revelation there. We're going to look at a few scriptures in Jude. Look at Jude 14 and 15. It says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Stay in Jude, because we're going to, like I said, we're going to have a few more verses here. But notice this word ungodly here. He mentions in this verse four times the word ungodly. Ungodly. And this is the way the world will be as we're nearing the coming of the Lord for His church. Can anybody look at the world today and say it's ungodly? Yeah. We have called evil good and good evil. As they did in the Old Testament, every man did that which was right in his own eyes, right? Which the Bible tells us is wrong in God's eyes. We forgot. We forgot who God is. We've tried to make Him out to be just another person. In the verses of 10 through 13 of Jude, we read that Enoch prophesied to do with this ungodly, worldly crowd. So look at verses 10 through 13 of Jude, where it says, "But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." These wicked examples from history of Israel, are provided to reveal the false prophets against whom Jude's epistle is directed. First of all, we see Cain. Cain represents the heart of a murderer. How long did it take before murder occurred on the earth? Not long, was it? You have Adam and Eve, who bore Cain and Abel. And Cain became the first murderer. Didn't take long. Didn't take long at all. Balaam is typical of idolatrous mind. And Korah was noted for rebellion against God's chosen leadership. See that over and over and over. The evil teachers that Jude is speaking of here are like these reprehensible characters from Israel's past. Verses 12 through 13, again, we'll look at, these are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. He states that they appear full, but there's nothing in them. Nothing in them. The winds and ways of least resistance, right? The Bible tells us about those who are carried about with every wind of doctrine. They're pretty wishy-washy. They don't know what they believe or why they believe it. It's easy for you to get them to follow you. They produce nothing but corrupt fruit. Stars out of orbit. These people are here at this time, and the end times preview is what we have here. I found this as I was putting this together, some polls. Some of these go back a ways. This one's from 1984. Out of a poll of 700 preachers in 1984, the following results were given. 48% denied the complete inspiration of the Bible. Out of 700. 24% rejected the atonement. 12% rejected the resurrection of the body. 27% did not believe that Christ will return to judge the quick and the dead. What are they reading? It obviously isn't the Word of God, because they would have known differently. Then let's move closer. May 3rd through 7th of 2017, a Gallup poll. 24% believes that the Bible is the literal Word of God, the lowest in Gallup's poll's history. 24%. Can you imagine only 24% believing that this is the Word of God? 24%. To me, that's pretty sad. So I thought, let's do some more research. So this year, 2022, May 13th, and I quote, "A majority of Christian pastors in the United States do not hold a biblical worldview. According to surprising new research from pollster George Barna, who says the data shows a spiritual awakening is needed just as desperately in our pulpits as in our pews." What do we expect when the man of God standing in the pulpit is not leading the people according to the Word of God? What else can we expect? They say only 37% of pastors in the U.S. hold a biblical worldview. That's sad. That's really sad. I wonder if the other 63% are counting on the election coming up instead of Almighty God. It would almost be funny if it wasn't so sad. Falling away from God. Falling away from God. Look at 2 Thessalonians, if you would, please. We're going to look at chapter 3. Chapter 2 and verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. This falling away, the falling away from the Word of God, the settled Word of God, there's a falling away. People who don't believe the Word of God anymore. Churches who used to stand on the Word of God no longer stand there. Churches who used to believe in the inherent Word of God have gone to perversions of the Word of God because they want their ears tickled, as the Bible tells us. Falling away. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. We're seeing that today. Not just in our nation, but around the world, we're seeing that. John 16:33. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." See, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you can still have peace. See, I can look at what's going on out in the world and say, that's not where my hope is. It's not what I'm trusting in. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And through that I have peace. Peace. All of this ungodliness that we see, all of this, on every hand, it's out there everywhere, is a good sign for believers in Jesus Christ. People go, well, what does that mean? It means the rapture is soon to take place. It means we're going to be taken away. We're going to be leaving this old world and going home. I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but the world financial system has to be a mess. It has to. We've seen things, and I don't like to be the doom and gloom preacher. I like to preach on things that are happy and upbeat, right? But I would be remiss if I don't preach the entire counsel of the Word of God. I got news for you. The economists are saying that if you think 2008, 2009 was bad, hold on. Because we're about to go into a recession, possibly even a depression, like we haven't seen in my lifetime. Yeah. Sounds like fun, doesn't it? Things have to get bad. Because when the Antichrist comes on the scene, he has to be able to say, I'm going to fix this. There has to be something for him to fix. What seems to hit everybody doesn't matter who you are. Finances. Right? I've been telling people for years, get your finances in order. Quit living under a pile of debt. Because there's coming a day when you won't be able to survive because you're going to be suffocated in debt. The Bible tells us to owe no man anything. We need to be careful. We need to be careful. The last I checked, so I was putting this together, the United States of America is $31 trillion in debt. I can't even think that high, let alone, I mean, can you imagine how many zeros that is? $31 trillion in debt, most of it to China, by the way. $31 trillion in debt. Let's just divide that by the number of people in the United States of America, and what is your share of that debt? And did you have a part in creating that debt? When the Antichrist comes, people in this world are going to think that he's fixed this problem. They're going to believe that he has. And he's going to force them to take a mark. He's going to take that mark of the beast in order to sell or trade anything. Just like he's directed by the false prophet. Let's turn over to Revelation. We'll be back to Hebrews in just a moment, but Revelation chapter 13. We're going to look at verses 16 and 17 of Revelation 13. It says, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. I found it interesting several years ago. They had a bank that had a commercial on, and they were scanning the forehead of people across a barcode reader. Do you know what that was doing? That was getting people ready for the mark of the beast. And you know what they're saying is it's for your own benefit. Why? Because how is anybody going to steal your identity if it's embedded in a chip in your head or on your hand? How are they going to do that? All you need is that chip, right? Yes, I just noticed the chopping of the axe on the hand, right? Then you have the hand. Chopping off the head, you've got the head. All you've got to do is scan those things and you can do whatever that person could do. Interesting, isn't it, that he's going to come save the world from this monetary collapse, which we're seeing take place. While we were over in Yakima, just a few hundred miles to the west from here, everywhere in that town but one place that I saw had gas prices over $5 a gallon. When I left over here just on Tuesday, I filled up at $4.34 a gallon. I got over there and I filled up at $5.06 a gallon. because I wasn't paying $5.29, so I passed that one and went on to see if I could find a cheaper one. Things are not getting better. They're waxing worse and worse, just like God's word told us it would. Back to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This little word, must. Must. Not a very big word, right? But must. It's very important. This word must here means necessary, an essential thing. Reminds me of over in John chapter 3 when Jesus said to Nicodemus, right? Ye must be born again. Now Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders. Why would Jesus say to somebody who was supposed to be religious and one of the leaders of religion that he had to be born again? Obviously because he had religion, but he didn't have a relationship. See, the problem today is people don't mind religion, but religion saves no one. We need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that relationship. When people ask me, what religion are you? I said, I don't have a religion. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a difference. The Pharisees and the Sadducees had religion, and Jesus rebuked them. In fact, he called them hypocrites. They knew what God said, but they weren't living what God said. We need to be careful that we don't have religion over a relationship. There's a lot of people, a lot of religious people today that are in hell. It saddens my heart. This word diligently, exateo, it means to search out, investigate, crave, demand, seek after carefully, not carelessly, not negligently, but purposefully and sincerely. We need to diligently seek him. The Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. It doesn't say that it's possible to please him without faith. It says it's impossible to please him without faith. This has to do with basic faith. Basic faith. It tells us exactly what that is. It requires that any who seek God, this basic faith means that we truly believe in God. That we believe who he is and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We got to believe that there is a God and that he's going to reward those who diligently seek after him. Walking by faith involves not only believing that God exists, but believing he's going to reward the faithful. And by the way, the faithful that he's going to reward are those who are diligently seeking after him. This carries this meaning of present tense. not those that were seeking after him and left the faith, but those who are diligently still faithful. Still, when Jesus comes, will he find faith on the earth? So one of the questions in the Bible, right? Will he find faith? So we need to continue to be seeking him, not be believers that stopped seeking after God. Something very important here, the writer to the Hebrews does not say that it's difficult to please God. It says it's impossible. Impossible. He says, well, I don't have to have faith. If you want to please God, you do. So, well, I don't need to please him. Well, that's your choice. God gave mankind a choice. You can choose Christ and have eternal life, or you can stay on the path you're already on and choose eternal death. The choice is yours. It's God's desire that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Everyone needs to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's God's desire. These two elements, faith and seeking after God, seem simple enough to do, right? Sounds simple. But the test is in our sincerity. Are we sincere? Because see, God looks not on the outward of man, but on the inward. He looks on the heart. Are you sincere? Are you sincere? How many professing Christians conduct themselves as if God is not real? How many of them conduct themselves as if God is far away? The Bible says that the moment of salvation, Jesus Christ comes and dwells within us. We have the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us. We are not far from him. He is not far from us. But we're living our lives as if he is so far away that he's missing everything we're doing. Let me tell you, we're getting away with absolutely nothing. God sees it all, and he knows it all. There are those that are good at playing church. And then others, though seemingly they are seeking after God, they're not sure that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seems to be an element of doubt in some people's minds. Now, I mentioned many times before, we can fool an awful lot of people. But you will never fool God. He knows if your faith is genuine or not. The Bible tells us there's a day coming, a day of judgment to one and all. There are going to be people at that judgment, the judgment of the lost, who thought they were saved. They were doing all kinds of good works and all. And they thought they were going to make it to heaven. They thought their good deeds would get them into heaven, that their faith was in their works, but not in the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, we're living in that day now when people have fooled themselves into believing a lie. Jesus said, we're to be fruit inspectors. People said, fruit inspectors? Yes, fruit inspectors. Turn over to Matthew chapter 7, please. We're coming back to Hebrews chapter 12, so stay in that area too. But Matthew chapter 7, we're almost done here. Matthew chapter 7, verses 20 through 23. It says, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. See, there's a lot of people who are trusting in their own works instead of the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be careful what we're trusting in. Then Hebrews 12, chapter 2, chapter 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus came, gave his life, so that we all, not just us in this room, but all of mankind, could have eternal life. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's not reserved for the elite. It's not reserved for the wealthy. It's a whosoever. Doesn't matter who you are. God wants to save you. God wants you to spend eternity with him. It's open to everybody. And it's a free gift. A free gift. It cost him, cost God the Father, the very best he had, his only begotten Son. But it's free for you and me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. Father, we're thankful for these words like, Enoch walked with God and was not. For you took him out of here. Father, that would be such a blessing. To be raptured out. To not have to face death here. But Father, we know that not everybody gets to go that way. One day, each and every one of us will face death. If the rapture does not take place first. We don't get to choose how, or when, or where. But Father, for those who are born again, for those who have put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, accepting the free gift of eternal life, a change of locations from here to our eternal home. But Father, for those who have rejected Christ or never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and his free gift of salvation, they're on a path that leads to destruction, path that leads to hell. And one day hell is going to be cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Father, it's my desire if there's someone in our midst today that has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, that today would be that day. Father, for those of us who know Christ, I pray that we are 100% sold out to following you. Our faith and trust that we understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So I pray, Father, we are diligently seeking after him. We didn't start faithful and end unfaithful, but we've started faithful and we're continuing faithful to the very end. So Father, as we have this time of invitation, I pray that if there's someone that doesn't know Christ, they would come. So we can show them from your word how they can know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Father, for those who are born again, believers in Jesus Christ, I pray if we have anything we need to get right, pray that we'll take care of that this morning as well. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.